We'll just turn over to the second book of Samuel, please. Second book of Samuel, chapter 4. And I'm going to read verse 4. We were just singing that last hymn that was given out by Elliot. Was Lord Jesus my Saviour, I'll still sing of thee. Yes, sing of thy precious blood poured out for me, and when in the mansions of glory above, I'll praise and adore thine unchangeable love. Well, it's really good to be able to sing in a thing like this, and to look ahead to think of the mansions and what it's going to be like to sing in the mansions above. And I want to just think of one fellow today, and he wasn't able to be in the mansions that he was born into, and but yet gladly he was able to get there. In 2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4 it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. This young fellow, Mephibosheth, now, he was only 5 years old, and from then on, he was lame. How did he ever handle it and deal with it in his life? Now, that's what I've been thinking of. How do we deal with things that come in upon us, or what we do ourselves, or things that happen to us? This was an outside occurrence that happened to him. He wasn't the cause of it. He was only a boy, and his nurse was running with him, and he fell, and he was lame as a result of it on both legs. So you can imagine just what it would have been like for him. So much would have been awkward for him, awkward for work, awkward of just being a person around other people, for them to look at him, and as one person once said, they think you're soft in the head when something else is wrong with you. Which is not often the case, is it? You know, people can be affected physically, that can be have a brilliant mind. So I wonder how this fellow got on at 5 years of age and how he related to it. I wonder, did he blame God? Why did you let this happen to me? I wonder, did he blame his nurse? What was wrong with you? Why couldn't you have made sure that I wouldn't have fell? But what else did happen to him? He was the grandson of King Saul, and his anticipation as a young person would have been no doubt in royalty and being probably in the palace for all of his life. I know of a family that had lost their property. The banks foreclosed on them many, many years ago, but their son, who was 15 or 16, I was really concerned about him, because he could drive every machine. He was such a marvellous little worker, and his father tried to reason with the banks and say, look, you know I'm in a better situation than I have been for the previous 2 years, and you never foreclosed on me, and now you're foreclosing. And the lady who'd come up from Sydney to tell him had tears in her eyes that the decision had been made. But that boy, 16, I was concerned about him, because he had set his mind to having the farm, you know, as a follow-on. And that lad went down the chute, hit drugs and booze and everything. Yeah, it was really sad to think he was such a fine little bloke, and yet that happened, and how he ended up. And so what happens to people can have a great effect on how we live, or how we're going to live. Mephibosheth had lost his father and his grandfather and his uncles all in one day. We're not told about others or anything other than all of those of his relatives had been killed. How did he relate to that? How did he relate to being lame? How did he relate to missing out on being in the palace and may have been in the line to be the king? And how did he relate to all these sorts of things that has happened to him? I just think of the death of people and how you relate to when you lose people, and how do you act upon? How do you act? I know I never acted very well when I lost my mother. I just could not sort of come to terms with that. Yes, I was a lot younger, of course, but never even cried. I couldn't cry. I was hurt. Now, some people get over it easy, eh, and get things. Probably about nearly a year later did I cry. Did I break down? So that was good. But it took a while to sort out. And yet, things happen where you break down and you get over it quickly. And not get over it, but can deal with it quickly. Now, I've had many things happen to me, but I failed when I was young. And I said, I can't ever do that no more. I can't do that. So it was the best thing that ever happened to me. You'd never think that, would you? But I've been thankful for it. And I'm thankful that I messed up when I was young, because it stood me in good stead for the bigger things that happened to me and the bigger hurts that come, you know? And I had a chap in prison, and inside he said, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me was coming to jail. And I said, yeah. And in front of other men, there was a CEO of a big building company was there, and this man then started to tell us what happened. He said he was happily married, and it was going well, but then one day his wife had to confess that she had an affair, and it really knocked him. She'd have probably been better off never telling him, because it had happened quite a long time, but she couldn't live with herself over it, so she had to not only square it up with God, she had to square it up with him, and that was good. But it was hard for him. And he said, I forgive you, but he said, when things start to go wrong, it'll boil up, you know. He said, but since I've been in jail, I've learned. I've done wrong, and we can all do wrong. And he said, I've been able to square it up and clear it up properly. And he's gone really well. In fact, he's come with quite a few occasions that we've had outside influences. So, yeah, dealing with things is pretty hard sometimes, isn't it? When we're young. Now, there's not many younger ones here. And no doubt everyone who's older has been through some things, because the strange thing I see in Scripture is one of the first things that happened to the children of Israel when they left Egypt after they come across the Red Sea was they hit the bitter waters of Marah. They're only young in the Lord, you know? And when we're young in the Lord is sometimes when we're vulnerable, but yet that's the time things come, whether they're there to teach us and that we learn to deal with these things, it must be. But if we never deal with them, I've had, sadly, dealings with some Christians who've harboured grudges and resentment for some nearly 40 years. There's been things they've never, ever properly dealt with. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Because sometimes people become resentful and bitter over life circumstances or the things that have happened to them, whether they've become lame or whether they've had broken marriages or whether they've gone financially bust. But the bitter waters of Marah was one of the ways that God had started to train his people early. And the way that they learnt to handle it was what Moses had to do. He was showed a tree, and when he put the tree in the waters, the bitter waters became sweet and they were able to drink it. And that's about the only thing that we can ever do when we're hurt, when things happen to us, is to put the tree or the death of the Lord Jesus into our circumstances. Not just the Lord himself, but his death, remembering that death and death to self is the way that good can come. So here was this young fellow, and I don't know how he sort of handled it for many, many years, and how he related to God through it and the circumstances that had happened to him and his loss, you know, of what could have been his. That's one of the sad things of life, you know, when you look and say, that could have been me or that could have been mine, and you miss out. And you have to learn to deal with that. And we learn that we know all things work together for good to those who love God. That's about the only thing I think that we can come to often. And it says the first two words are often people miss out, because they say, all things work together for good to those who love God. But the first two words says, we know. We know by experience that all things work together for good to those who love God. We learn it in the hard school. I call it not only the school of hard knocks, but I reckon I progressed to the university of hard knocks because they got a bit harder. And they're harder to remember too, some of them bumps. And that's why they're hard, so that we will remember them and don't make the same mistakes again, and that we can learn to deal with them. But why do they keep coming so often and different things happening? You will say, why me, Lord? Why me? How many people? Why me? It's happened to me again. Some seem to get away easily and get through life, and the hymn writer put it that way. But, yeah, farther along we'll know more about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Yes. Now, okay, wasn't all gloom for this fellow, was it? Huh? Just turn over to chapter 9 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 9 and verse 1, David said, is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him to David, the king said, aren't you to Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan hath yet a son that is lame in his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maacah the son of Amiel in Lodibar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maacah the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth the son of Jonathan the son of Saul was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy grandfather, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Now, David was going to show kindness to one of Jonathan's sons, of any of the house of Saul. He was going to show kindness. But you know, have you ever noticed that when this young man came to David, what did David do? What did he say there? Verse 7, I will show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake. And what else? He said, and I'm going to restore you all the land of your grandfather, and you're going to eat bread at my table continually. Why? Why did David add two extra things? He was just going to show kindness to him. Didn't say that he wanted him to come up and live up there. But when he saw he was lame, David must have added these things to him. Or was that in his heart just to restore all the land and to have him living up at the palace? Don't think so. Not by that verse, hey? So, just as well he was lame. If he'd have got off scot-free and was never lame, huh? He'd have probably still never been up the palace. Huh? Yeah. So sometimes things are a blessing that seem a curse. Not too often they ever look that way, but if we get God's perspective of things, sometimes they may be. And sometimes, I had asthma as a kid. All my life, had asthma, right? It never stopped me playing football or anything else, but I had asthma, and I'd be very sick. I'd been in and out of hospital, and I'd be in bed with my mother, stick me in bed next to her until they end up having to stick me in hospital. So that's probably why I missed the loss of my mother a lot, probably. I was pretty close to her. But it was a blessing, because my dad said, the two other brothers, they could help him with the truck. He said, Alan can't lie under trucks at the night time fixing them and doing these things. We've got to get him an apprenticeship. Get him something else. Easier work. Easier. Yeah. And that's how I ended up getting saved, because that's where I worked with Tom McCrindle and learned about the Lord and learned through a fellow, Matthew Milburn. Did you ever anyone meet him? A fellow from New Zealand, Matthew Milburn, and part of his head, he had a plate in his head. He'd come over visiting. And was he ever keen about a person getting saved, old Matt? Yeah. So, it was a blessing to me having asthma. I'm the only one in the family that's got asthma. Yeah, I've still gone back to the gym the last couple of months because I'm so sick of battling with weight, but I've hardly lost anything, but I've still gone back. So I can still work out, even having asthma and all the rest of it. My wife looked at me as though I was going a bit funny. I said, I'm going back to the gym. She said, nearly 64. She said, you're going back to the gym. Yeah. But just those problems with weight. And, of course, with asthma, you get prednisone. You know, when you know what that does to you. It wants to fatten you all the more. So always had this sort of a problem. So they're a bit of a blessing to me, because since I've been going back to the gym, I had a very bad knee. I've had it stitched and got cartilage in both knees. I've fairly well had it from football and from everything else too, and coming off extension ladders at work and things. But because of going to the gym, I've been exercising that better, just like you, and it's starting to get better. Instead of having the pain that I've endured for nearly 40 years, I've had pain nearly all the time in that right knee, it's starting to get a bit better. And the fellow said, yes, because it's been exercise, whereas I tend to nurse it. And I could stand here like this and with this one leg and it'll go out and be like this. You may have seen me sometimes. So it's getting better and strengthen the muscle around it. I said, what about all these things that happen to us? Are they working for good or are they not? Huh? You don't like it, and I don't like it either. And I didn't like it happening to me. And I didn't like coming off a big extension ladder flying down. But all things work together for good to those who love God. And I can't relate. Can we say that happens and it works out good? Well, somehow, some of it's working out for good anyway, so we can be thankful for that. So here's a young fellow, and look at him now, he's in the palace with David. There's a few things happen though in people's lives, eh? Just turn over to chapter 19. Just turn over to chapter 19, there's something else happened too. Chapter 16 tells us that Ziba, yeah, we'll just read from chapter 19, verse 24. Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. This is after David had been hunted out, or he left Jerusalem when Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. And Mephibosheth got his servant Ziba to saddle an ass and put all the sultanas and bread and everything for David, and he was going to go down to David. But this servant, young Ziba, he slandered him. He said that Mephibosheth came down, and he had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes on the day the king departed and the day he came again in peace. Came to pass when he's come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said, why don't you go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I might ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant under my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said to the king, yeah, let him take all, for as much my lord the king is coming in peace unto his own house. Well, you know, he had to deal with that, didn't he? Here's Mephibosheth, who was lame, and fancy his servant slandering to David and telling a lie about him, saying that he said that he was going to stay there because the kingdom was going to return to the house of Saul to him, and that wasn't true. And boy, sometimes you might have to cop a few things, eh? People can pick up on something and get it wrong. They can slander people, or they can tell lies. How do you and fancy telling lies and slandering a lame bloke, a bloke who'd been hurt, hey? It's not very nice, is it? And some people don't realise what they do to others and how slandering others. Paul knew what it was like. He said, we've been slanderously reported by others, you know, and sometimes we may be like that fellow who came to the Lord in Luke 12. He said, Lord, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance. And the Lord said, who made me a judge and a ruler over you? Because look at the way David did it. If I was David, I'd be saying, hey, Ziba, come here. You know, you lied and slandered, you're going to miss out on everything. But David didn't do that, did he? And how was Mephibosheth's attitude? He just said, Lord, let him have it all, David. You know, I'm just pleased that you're back. So the attitude of yielding ourselves to God, you know, sometimes we're able to fix up things, or we can square up things if we hear it. You know, I had a brother come to me recently with a whacking at me, and I said, hey, that's not correct, son. That's not correct, brother. He was an older man, too. And so he said, "Oh, I'm real pleased I come and talk to you." I said, "Well, good you did." But there was something going on and rattling around, and I said, "Boy, you get into trouble and you don't even realise what's going on sometimes, and you can't do nothing much about it. But if we can sometimes, and something can be squared, well, we can. But we can't expect justice in everything here. But one day, the Lord will sort it all out, eh?" But just here, it's a bit difficult sometimes, isn't it? Just turn back to Genesis, please. I'll have to be very quick. I'm running along too long. Genesis chapter 32. It tells us when Jacob passed over that brook Jabbok and was going back home, it says, "And he was left alone," in verse 24 of Genesis 32, "and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let you go except you bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou hast asked after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.' And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh." Or, the margin gives it, "he halted," or "he limped," as if one-sided. He was limping. One leg, it seems, eh? Was out of joint. And here's old Jacob limping, eh? But he got the blessing after God had touched him, eh? Yeah. It was good, wasn't it? That he wrestled and wrestled, and then his leg was out of joint, and that's when he said, "Yeah, I'll bless you." So he got the blessing when he was a limping fellow. Hey? So he's walking along from then on, saying, "Oh Lord, what'd you do that to me in my life, and now I'm limping all the time." Hey? Is it pretty right, is it? Sometimes God touches us, hey? And we walk a bit differently, eh? You know, it's pretty easy as Christians to be pretty proud, isn't it? You know, our life, we live before the Lord and we try to live what's right, but the Lord doesn't, he hates pride, eh? And he won't have people being proud. Sadly, you see it, that we may look down on others, or people can look down on us because we're not as good as we should be or as good as others. But the thing is, Jacob would not have been looking down on anyone. He's saying, "I'm limping along here, but God's blessing me anyway." So that's the main thing, isn't it? When God touches us, he blesses us. And we may walk a little bit differently, and we may have learnt a bit because we've had to wrestle with something. What did Jacob wrestle with? He was wrestling there with God over something. You know, the devil keeps us in bondage and in darkness. He don't want us to learn things of God. And he'll keep us that way. And sometimes there's a real wrestling goes on. And what does it say? He wrestled with him until the breaking of day. What comes at day? It was all through the night, the dark time, he's wrestling. What comes at daytime? You get light. So he wrestled with him till he got light. And he wouldn't let him go. And he said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And so what happened to him then? When he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. And he held it upon his thigh. So when he got light, when the sun came, he was halting. He was limping on his leg. But he got the truth and what was necessary from God because he got light. It's difficult to get things without a struggle, is the thought. You know? Every soul of your, where the, every place where the sole of your feet treads upon will be yours, God said of his people of old. And when we walk with the Lord and we come to places in life, there may be a struggle to understand the circumstances we're going through, but if we cling and hang on, we'll get the blessing. And we may walk differently afterwards because of what we've been through. In Micah 6:8, it says that, "What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" And one brother said he was proud of his humility. So, being humble is probably something that no one ever attains to, but we all should be a little bit more humble, I suppose, as we walk with the Lord. Now, what happens to people whose lives have been touched by the finger of God The hand of God hath touched me, Job said in chapter 19. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends. He said, for the hand of God hath touched me. Whether we're a Mephibosheth and things have happened, we've become lame or something's happened, or whether we're a Jacob and then we've become lame because God has put his finger on our life, or whatever has happened, Jacob was going to be blessed greatly, and Mephibosheth lived in the palace with David, where he would never have got there if he hadn't have been lame. And what about other people? I was reading an article of the American evangelist Peter Billhorn, and he was sent a song by Butterworth, was the writer of it, and the hymn had three verses, and it says, the bird with a broken pinion never soars as high again. And they were in prison at the Iowa State Prison at Fort Madison, and the chaplain had Peter along to sing and to play the music for them. And he turned to to Peter and he said, sing us one more song, please, Peter. And Peter pulled out this hymn that he had been just totting over and putting a bit of music to. And when he had finished, a strange thing happened. A convict, a young man in the centre, sprang to his feet and holding onto the seat in front of him said, Chaplain, is that true? If what he has been singing is true, there is no hope for me or a lot of us here. And he dropped back into his seat with a bit of a sob. Mr. Billhorn at once realised the dreadful blunder which he'd made, but it was too late to explain or apologise. He went back to Chicago saying, it's not true, it just can't be true to end up a song like that. So he ended up sitting down and writing another verse to it. He says, but the soul that comes to Jesus is saved from every sin, and the heart that fully trusts him shall a crown of glory win. Then come to the dear Redeemer, he will cleanse you from every stain. By the grace that he freely gives you, you shall higher soar again. And he went back a few weeks later to that prison and he apologised and sang that last verse there at the prison. But that's not the end of the story, you see, because nearly 20 years later, he said, he was at a camp in Illinois singing for the YMCA, and this, at the close of the meeting, a tall, splendid-looking officer in a colonel's uniform came down the aisle to the platform and put out his hand and said, hello, Billhorn, you don't remember me, but I do you. He says, you visited Fort Madison prison 18 years ago and sang about the bird with a broken wing. Yes, Peter said, and every time I think of it, I'm filled a bit with shame. Well, said the colonel, I am the man who asked if that song was true. And when you came back weeks later and gave your testimony and apologised and sang that new verse, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. He said, I was able to rise, and I am now the colonel of a regiment of infantry preparing to go overseas. By God's grace, one can hire soar again. Probably not so much in man's estimation, but he was a fellow who thought all hopes were dashed because he'd failed. And I was thinking, isn't it great that we have God's book? He tells the failures as well as the epochs of men's life, as Abraham and men like this colonel and everyone else, eh? Yes. So, being touched, whether our life has, you know, had problems physically, or whether spiritually we've had the God's hand upon us, or whether we're like Job when he said, the hand of God has touched me and lost so much. Oh, jingies, I often think of that, to lose all your family and everything, you know. It would have been terrible to have to go through that when we've, you know, known people who have, and you know, to be able to relate and rise again. Sometimes we can never understand it, can we? We don't really understand it. And the many things that we go through, we probably just learn to trust God and hopefully don't remain bitter. I think of the Apostle Paul. It says, the elders from Ephesus fell on his neck and wept and kissed him. Well, I tell you, it's a pretty good sort of men who'd be able to do that with that little bloke, eh? And he could have been a bitter, resentful fellow, Paul, from all that had happened to him, the whippings and the stonings and all those things. Could you imagine how it could hurt you? And how David might have felt with Mephibosheth when Ziba has said that he's going to stay back at the palace and get the kingdom back. How do you feel that David, with his own son, had hunted him and he was in the back blocks, and then for to be told that, boy, I reckon that would hurt. You know, when you help people and then you cop a bit. And sometimes you don't, you know, we don't mean, may not purposely mean to hurt someone, but sometimes it just happens. And so there's a fair bit to deal with as Christians, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, it all happened to him, didn't it? He knew what it was to have a person like Judas Iscariot do what he did to him, hey? Come and kiss him and deny him. So it helps us when we know that everything has happened to the Lord Jesus in things, and some things may just happen a bit and not so much as what it may have meant to him, eh?